Let's talk some hockey now. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Greg Wyshynski joins us from ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Greg, thanks for pushing back a little bit. How you doing?
My pleasure. Well, I mean, I got nothing else better to do than to prepare for round five between Edmonton and L.A., which could be a thing that happens after tonight. Ugh. Yeah, it's been good. I think we've got some intriguing first-round matchups, unfortunately, none of them involving Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if we're all being honest, and I said this to Barry Trotz when I saw him on Monday, of you asked me at the beginning of the year, are the Predators going to be in a position in mid-April to make the playoffs? I probably would have told you no, and they were. And, you know, it came right down to the wire. That's after selling at the deadline. So, I mean, if you're looking at things with the glass half full, obviously it's not what they wanted, but they certainly made it interesting and were there right at the end.
Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the benefits from this run that they had was obviously increasing the value of some of the guys who might not be here next year, in particular a guy like Steven Stamkos, who I think has shown he's got plenty left in the tank. And you know, if the new general manager comes in and, as Stammer talked about the other day, declares they want to go in maybe a different direction away from the veteran players, you know, his standing in this league as an elite offensive player, I think, has increased because of of what he's done this year and what he did to help the Predators remain in a playoff hunt. So, there, you know, in the long-term planning for what the Predators are trying to do, there's some benefits to what happened. If ultimately making the playoffs would have probably been the best thing for some of these young players.
Greg, when you kind of look at this, the names that are out there, we've talked to you about the GM search. You know, Fitz, if he comes in, Tom Fitzgerald, I would say Andrew Brunette probably has a good chance of being back as the head coach. The others, I don't know. But looking at the season as a whole, strictly from evaluating the head coach, do you believe he should get another year here?
That's a really good point about Fitz, too. I don't think I've considered that, the fact that, you know, they have that relationship going back to when he was an associate coach with the Devils and maybe was the secret sauce for why they had the year that they had when he was on that bench. But
they were teammates here, too.
And they were teammates, correct, yes. They've got a longstanding relationship. You know, I again, like, it really comes down to two factors, like you said. Who's the GM? What are the expectations for next year insofar as what's the long-term plan? And ultimately, you know, does ownership think he should come back? I mean, that's the other part of this, too, is, you know, we don't really have a sense overall of what the highest tier of the organization thought of this close but no cigar season and the job that Brunette did as a coach. I tend to believe that the way that they played down the stretch and the contractual obligations therein for Brunette beyond the season would indicate that he will be back, but I have no solid intel on that either way. And we won't, I don't think anybody will until we know who the GM is.
Well, you know, Greg, it's funny. People are like, well, if you go to Nashville, you know, they've only made one final in their history and, you know, these contracts and yada, yada, yada. If I'm an assistant GM or a hockey operations guy, I would absolutely love the opportunity to be a general manager in the NHL, right?
Of course. Oh, of course. And I think it's a market, one, that has, you know, a lot of inherent advantages as far as fan support and living here and players wanting to come there. But, I mean, as they transition to the next thing, I think that they've got some good pieces already in place and certainly have some pieces they can move out to improve themselves in the short term. I'm still intrigued as to what the ultimate structure is going to be for this team. Like I said a couple of weeks ago with you guys, I had some intel about the interview process, and it seemed like that they were gearing towards having someone with experience as a president of hockey operations and have somebody come in underneath them as the GM, kind of the way that Montreal kind of got set up with Jeff Horton being top of the pyramid and Kent Hughes working underneath them. That's a template that we've seen for a few teams. And so the idea that it could be, say, a Tom Fitzgerald above someone like Bill Scott, for example, who I know is someone very much on Nashville's radar, the assistant general manager with the Edmonton Oilers, that's intriguing. But there's also the chance that they just give everything to one person and uncomplicate things and have that person just kind of lead the organization.
if there's a candidate that's with a team that goes a long way in the Stanley Cup playoffs, does that hurt or hinder the Predators in any shape, form, or fashion when they try to get a new GM in here to evaluate talent, get the structure, on and on and on?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, basically, let's be honest. We all play this game where we believe that everybody's following the rules. We all believe there's no negotiation with players before they're allowed to negotiate with free agents and all that malarkey. If somebody is on the Preds' radar and if somebody is in talks with the team and there's an agreement that, like, hey, when your situation is done with your team, you'll come on over and take over ours, of course they're going to start the hard work of figuring out the draft board and doing all the work that goes into figuring out the offseason. But, you know, I think in the case of somebody that's for your front office, it is a little bit different than a coach or something like that if you're looking to hire them, in the sense that they might be able to hop at any point. I mean, yeah, you'd want to be there for the victory celebration and what have you, but it's not as if the general manager is doing much heavy lifting in the offseason outside of making sure you're cap compliant. So, you know, there's always the possibility that somebody could jump early if their team's on a run. But overall, I think that the work will start much earlier than anyone anticipates if it looks like it's going to go in a certain direction.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. So looking at some other storylines as the regular season wraps up, has Alex Ovechkin played his final NHL game?
He doesn't believe so. You know, I was about 90% he was going to retire probably about a month ago. Before I covered their game against the Penguins on Sunday, I was probably about like down to 80%. Now I'm like at 60% that he's going to retire. I on top of everything he said today about hoping that it's not his last game and the fact that his kids want him to come back, and, you know, obviously he's got some things to figure out insofar as family and whether he can, you know, do the things he needs to do as a 40-year-old to come back and get an understanding of if the Capitals are going to improve themselves enough where it's worth coming back. But it's pretty clear the fire is still burning. It's pretty clear that he doesn't want to give up his life. And all of his actions this week, whether it's waving off the Penguins' handshake line or treating these final games as anything but a spectacular farewell to his teammates and the fans, I mean, kind of indicates, I think, that the voice in the back of his head might be getting louder insofar as it not being his final season.
Hey, maybe he needs to do like Randy Orton and listen to the voices.
there's some things Randy Orton has done in the last month that I would not advise Ovechkin to do. But that's for the WrestleMania Laps fans guide that's currently on ESPN.com if you want to read it.
Hey, I want to ask you this. How cool is it to see – Chris Mason talked about this the other day – Buffalo in the playoffs and being good?
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, listen, you guys remember that Buffalo – used to be a city that would drive a national television rating. I mean, like, they are hockey mad there. And so to get the Sabres back in the playoffs, I think, is going to be hugely beneficial for the excitement of the playoffs overall. But also, as a long-suffering New York Jets fan, anytime a team can snap its historic drought for the postseason, I'm going to be very enthusiastic for that team. I'll tell you one thing that's really fun about those Sabres. So they break the longest drought in NHL history as far as between playoff appearances. And then Rasmus Ruotsalainen, who used to be a defenseman for Buffalo who plays for the Flyers, breaks the longest active drought for a player. He has never appeared in the playoffs after over, I think it's like 860 games. So
he got stuck on
the Sabres when they stunk, and then he goes to the Flyers, they stink, and then both the Sabres and the Flyers make the playoffs in the same season to snap both of their streaks. It's a really, really fun little bit of hockey symmetry right there.
Before we let you go, it is our – you just mentioned it with WrestleMania. So it's our annual WrestleMania predictions from Greg Wyshynski. But this year has got to be extra special because it's on the ESPN app. The first hour of night one will be on ESPN2. The first hour of night two will be on ESPN. So your network is obviously very involved with WWE and WrestleMania this year. What are you thinking going into this weekend?
The thing I'm most excited about is that Obafemi match against Lesnar.
Yes.
Like I feel like he's got a rocket strapped to his back to be the next big sensation in the WWE, and obviously this match is poised to kind of make him a star or give him a huge obstacle that he'll still have to overcome. But his promo the other night, if you want to look it up, where he dueled with Paul Heyman on the mic, was the stuff that makes you go, oh, this guy's got it. Like, he's just got the total package of stardom. But as far as everything else, look, man, I ain't going to lie to you. I had to write the preview for WrestleMania today. It was maybe one of the most challenging things I've had to write because I'm not exactly enamored with one of my coworkers being involved in a certain angle.
Yeah.
So I don't want to tick anybody off. I don't want to get anybody mad. I think I did a good job of subtly conveying some of the issues I have with the angle. But the great thing about wrestling is that as much as you could, you know, be skeptical about the direction things have gone, sometimes by the end of the night, you're like, you know what? I was wrong. They actually had an idea of where they wanted to take this thing. And I'm hoping that's the case with the Orton Rhodes match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm like, I'm so what is this that I'm curious to see where they're going to take. Like, I know there's a swerve somewhere, that's what I think I'm excited about.
The thing that kills me is, like, you got to at least make it logical. And if the whole thing is, like, I want to bring back the Attitude Era, and the guy that you're attacking is a guy who bleeds in every match and told The Rock to F off last year, I don't quite understand the logic of making that guy the symbol of all the things that are wrong with the current product.
Yeah. So we'll see. And I'm also intrigued by the Punk and Roman Reigns match as well, which I believe is going to be the main event Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a feud where it started off as being kind of intriguing and hate-filled. And then as it's gotten closer to the match, they've added a lot of layers of sort of why they hate each other and jealousy and things like that. It's getting really interesting and multifaceted, which is sometimes how I think both these guys operate, where you start at the baseline of, I hate you, I want to fight. And then by the time the match arrives, it becomes like a psychological drama. And that's kind of where we are with it right now.
Well, absolutely love that we can talk wrestling on SportsCenter. Us wrestling nerds have always wanted that. I think it's really, really cool. Greg, appreciate the time as always, and we will talk next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski joining us from ESPN, senior NHL writer, and also covers a little wrestling in WWE as well, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We will come back and kind of recap. We've hit a lot of things
today, pal.
On the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.